While the bosses are vacationing, congressional staffers have some taxing homework. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. U.S. senators should finally be piling out of Washington for their postponed summer recess by the weekend. Members of the House have already fled. But there's work in August for staffers on Capitol Hill, and some of it could affect taxes. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
3-hour lunches, long weekends while the boss is away. Not if you work for Congress.
The August work period is actually a really nice time to get some work done.
That's Henrietta Trace, a former staffer, now with Veda Partners, which advises businesses on legislation. The work of choice this month? Tax reform, hashing out the details of, say, a big corporate tax cut from 35% to 15%. Trace says,
getting to a 15% corporate tax rate costs $3 to $8 trillion.
Staffers might suggest a 28% rate instead. Trace says they'll also be researching options for extending expiring tax breaks and running the numbers on a middle-class tax cut. But Steve Rosenthal of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center says eventually members of Congress will have to tackle the politics of tax reform.
Who are the winners and who are the losers?
Because every tax break or loophole has its defenders. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Published reports suggest the Trump administration may be planning to sue some colleges and universities to stop what some see as reverse discrimination. The Justice Department is reportedly planning to pressure schools that promote a diverse student body, which frustrates some white and Asian applicants. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is looking into how pressure might be applied. Dan, what do we know?
So at this point, David, very little. The Justice Department hasn't commented on its plan, which was leaked to both the New York Times and the Washington Post. What we do know is that Justice sent around an internal memo trying to attract lawyers to sign up for this work. The work at its heart seems like it will go after public and private school affirmative action policies. These are designed to help African American and Latino students get preferential treatment compared to other kids with similar grades and test scores. At least one former Republican Justice Department official who welcomed the news suggested the Trump administration could look at high school test scores and university dropout rates to see if schools were giving too much preference to race. But at this point, David, that's just speculation.
Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has backed affirmative action policies in the past, which will guide the Justice Department's work, surely.
Yeah, just last year, the court upheld the practice at the University of Texas, Austin. The legal standard set by the Supreme Court is that diversity is an asset on campus, and to that end, race is one of several factors that's reasonable to use when evaluating applicants. Assuming this effort is actually launched, some say it will have a chilling effect, sort of a scare tactic, on schools knowing that they could be investigated or sued. Critics see this as consistent with Attorney General Jeff Sessions' broader stance on civil rights, including efforts to make it harder to vote and weakening gay rights.
Marketplace reporter Dan Gorenstein, thank you. Apple stock is up 5.7% in pre-market trading now. After the stock market closed, the company said people are still buying plenty of iPhones, even though a new one is on the way in the fall. iPad and Mac sales also did well. Apple sales were up more than 7% from a year earlier. Profits up 12%. Apple said the new iPhone will be able to make your bed, do your laundry, walk the dog, and clean the cat box. I'm kidding. Apple, in fact, didn't say much about the coming iPhone 8. Do the math on the stock price, and Apple's the most valuable company in the world. Businesses often argue that raising the minimum wage makes them cut staff. Researchers have been examining this using the Yelp app. They find that restaurants with crappier reviews tend to close down when minimum wages go up. Reporter Brenda Salinas of the digital media organization 60DB has the story.
In January, the minimum wage in Palo Alto increased from $11 an hour to $12. And Adita Baran, a waitress at a local restaurant called Calafia, was psyched.
When the increase happened, everybody was a little bit happy that there was...
But she's noticed that the restaurant has cut back on staffing for each shift.
It's increasing the load on each person drastically.
Baran works at a restaurant with 3.5 stars on Yelp. Harvard business professor Michael Luca says restaurants in that category are 14% more likely to go out of business after a $1 minimum wage increase.
Basically, the 5 and 4.5-star restaurants are completely insulated from changes to the minimum wage. What we see, though, is that 2-star and 3-star restaurants are heavily affected by changes to the minimum wage.
Luca got raw data from Yelp about all the restaurants in the Bay Area, where there have been a lot of city-level minimum wage increases. His theory is that restaurants with higher levels of customer satisfaction are able to pass on higher labor costs to their customers. It's like a cushion. Restaurants with lower ratings can't do that. Pedro Castaneda is Brand's manager.
We're at that cusp point.
Paychecks have gotten fatter since the wage hike, but Castaneda says there are other factors contributing to the slowdown, like summer vacation. He says the restaurant is holding on.
I think if it goes any higher, we will definitely feel it.
Castaneda doesn't think the restaurant would actually close.
What would probably end up happening, we'd have to either get someone who could do multiple jobs or rely on technology a little more to cut back our staff.
Researcher Michael Luca says he's heard that one before.
I think it's rare to find a business that thinks that they're going to close.
But Luca says if the restaurant has managed to stay open this long after the hike, all signs are good. In Palo Alto, I'm Brenda Salinas for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning. This one's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.